But Sambandha Bhashyam will actually, we are going to see elaborately. We need to drive, but still we understand it anyway. And we also saw last class the meaning of, briefly, we saw the meaning of Shanti Pataha. I said, this Shanti Pataha of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, that is Shukla Yajurvediya Shanti Pataha, is very different from other Shanti Pathas. Why? Because all other Shanti Pathas have generally prayer for the preparedness, prayer for the wellness in all respects, physical, emotional wellness, which is very much required for accomplishing any end and definitely accomplishing the end of knowledge, which is moksha. So without physical, emotional wellness, no end can be accomplished. Even artha, kama, dharma form to accomplish any end, we need to be physically strong and healthy, mentally sound as well. Therefore, for accomplishing jnanam and moksha also, definitely we need this. Even anywhere, every Shanti Pataha generally has only prayer for well-being and for removal of obstacles in accomplishing this end, especially the end called jnanam, which is moksha. The pursuit of the knowledge in terms of study. But this Shanti Pataha is very different, as I told you, wherein the essence of the Vedantic teaching is briefly summarized. And even though we studied this Shanti Pataha at the very beginning, the Shanti Pataha actually does not occur in the very beginning of the Upanishad like any other Shanti Pataha. The Shanti Pataha actually, it occurs only in the beginning of the fifth chapter, in Kilakanda. You don't find it in the very beginning itself. We finish first, two Kandas in four chapters. We enter into the fifth chapter, the third Kanda, called Kilakanda. There only in the very beginning the mantra comes. And the Shankara Bhagavad Pada's Bhashyam on the Shanti Pataha is also found there only. But somehow it has changed. Once when we started printing the book, the printing came into the thing, picture, that time onwards, and they always print this Shanti Pataha in the very beginning. So we also understood the meaning in the very beginning. So let me brief you that and we'll go to the new lesson. So, Purna Madaha Purna Midam. Purna Madaha Purna Midam is a Mahavakyam. Adaha means that, Tad, which means Ishwaraha, Paramatma. Idam means this, it stands for Tvam. Jivatma. Adaha Purnam, Idam Purnam means Ishvara is of the nature of infinitude and Jiva is also of the nature of infinitude. Which means from the standpoint of the Atma, the standpoint of the reality, the truth, Jiva Atma and Paramatma, Ishwaraha and Jivaha are essentially one. From the standpoint of the Upadis, Jiva Atma and Paramatma are different. From the standpoint of the Atma, the Upahita Chaitanyam, they are not two, they are one. There cannot be two infinitudes, there cannot be two infinite things. Therefore, they are essentially one. So, Jiva, Ishvara, Swarupa, Aikya, Pratipadakam, Mahavakyam ఇది ఫస్ట్ సెంటెన్స్. అదః పూర్ణం ఇదం పూర్ణం తత్ పూర్ణం త్వం పూర్ణం ఈశ్వరః పూర్ణః జీవః అపి పూర్ణః కథం ఆత్మదృష్ట్యా ఫ్రమ్ ది స్టాండ్ పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం. దెన్ పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణం ఉదచ్యతే. సో ఫస్ట్ యు టేక్ ది నిరుపాధిక దృష్ట్యా జీవేశ్వరౌ అభిన్నౌ. జీవ అండ్ ఈశ్వర ఆర్ నాన్ డిఫరెంట్, దేర్ వన్ ది స్టాండ్ పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆత్మ. బట్ సోపాధిక దృష్ట పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణం ఉదచ్యతే మీన్స్ ఫ్రమ్ పూర్ణ ఈశ్వరాత్ పూర్ణ జీవ ఉదచ్యతే. ఫ్రమ్ ది ఈశ్వర జీవ కమ్స్ ఇన్ టూ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ మీన్స్ దిస్ ఇస్ ఉపాధి. విత్ ఉపాధి యూ హ్యావ్ టు టేక్ హియర్. ఫస్ట్ యు టేక్ వితౌట్ ఉపాధి, నౌ యూ సీ ది మీనింగ్ విత్ ఉపాధి. అండ్ ఐ మెన్షన్ లాస్ట్ క్లాస్ ఆల్సో, జస్ట్ వెన్ ది పార్ట్ స్పేస్ పార్ట్ ఈస్ బోర్న్, ది పార్ట్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ టు ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ ఇన్ స్పేస్ అండ్ స్పేస్ ఎన్క్లోజ్డ్ బై ది పార్ట్ ఈస్ టేక్ లుక్డ్ అపాన్ యాజ్ పార్ట్ స్పేస్ అండ్ ది పార్ట్ స్పేస్ ఇస్ సెట్ టు బి బోర్న్. It is like that. When Jivatma is born out of Paramatma, means Paramatma is Karanam, Jivatma is Karyam, and Paramatmanaha Jivatma Jayate. Paramatmanaha Jivatma Jayate. From Paramatma, Jivatma comes into existence means, it's like the from Mahakashat Ghatakashasya జననం ఇవ. జస్ట్ యాజ్ పార్ట్ స్పేస్ ఇస్ బోర్న్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ టోటల్ స్పేస్, జీవాత్మ ఇస్ బోర్న్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ మహాపరమాత్మ. విచ్ మీన్స్ జీవాత్మ అండ్ పరమాత్మ ఆర్ ఎసెన్షియలీ వన్ ఆత్మ ఓన్లీ. దెర్ కెనాట్ బి బర్త్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆత్మ. ది ఉపాధి ఇస్ బాడీ మైండ్ అండ్ కాంప్లెక్స్. ఉపాధి ఇస్ బోర్న్, ఉపాధి ఇస్ బర్త్ is taken to be the upahitam's birth. Upadina upadehe janam upahita chaitanyasya jananam iva swikriyate. Is take upahita chaitanya is not born. Therefore, see, birth of the upadhi is taken to be the birth of the upahitam. Therefore, purnat purnam udachyate means that is the meaning, which means there is no real birth of the atma. Upadhi comes into existence mithyaya mithya upadehe seeming origination, see, coming into existence. So purna purnam udachyate. Then purnasya purnam adaya. Purnasya purnam adaya means you just take only jivatma, leave Ishvara here. First you thought Ishvara and Jiva, Ishvara and Jiva. Ishvara and Jiva are essentially one. From Ishvara, Jiva has originated. And now we say only jivatma. We say, who, what is jivatma? Purnat means purnat jivat. పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ. దట్ పూర్ణస్య జీవస్య. పూర్ణ జీవ మీన్స్ వాట్? పూర్ణ జీవ మీన్స్ ద జీవాత్మ, ఆత్మ ప్లస్ అనాత్మ, బాడీ మైండ్స్ అండ్ కాంప్లెక్స్. అనాత్మ బాడీ మైండ్స్ అండ్ కాంప్లెక్స్ ప్లస్ ఆత్మ ది కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఈజ్ ఈక్వల్ టు పూర్ణ జీవ. Or you can say upadhi, body, mind and complex upadhi anatma plus upahita chaitanya atma is equal to jivaha. This jivas, instead of make it panchami, make it sixth itself. So here purnasya, so purnasya jivatmanaha, is Purna Jivatmanaha, Purnam Adaya. Now if we take the Upahita Chaitanya Amsham. So Jivatma is Upadi, Anatma, body, mind and complex plus Upahitam Chaitanya Atma is equal to Purnaha Jivaha. And from this, of this Jivatma, let us use Shashti itself, of this Jivatma, you cognitively, intellectually take away the Purnam. Purnasya Purnam Adaya. What which Purnam? You can say Chaitanya, Upahita Chaitanyam aspect. If we take Purnameva Avasishyate, what remains is only Purnam Upahitam Atma Chaitanyam only. It's like saying from the wave you remove the water, water alone will remain. What will remain is only the water. But we feel like saying from the wave if you remove the water, there will be form and name wave. But actually speaking, from the wave, we remove the water, there will be only water. The form and name wave will disappear. The same way from the Purnasya Jivatmanaha, Purnam Amsham Adaya, if we take the, from the Jiva, if we take the Chaitanyam aspect, Atma aspect, the Anatma, body, mind, sense complex will disappear, will be as well as non-existent. Purnameva Avasishyate, finally what remains is only Upahitam Atma Chaitanyam aspect only. So what does it mean? What is the lesson actually we have to learn from here? The lesson we have to get here is Atma Satyam Anatma Mithya. Body, mind, sense complex, the Anatma Upadi is Mithya. Atma Satyam. So not only Jiva Upadi, body, mind, sense complex is Mithya. Ishvara Upadi, Jagat is also Mithya. Jagat is Ishvara Upadi, body, mind, sense complex is Jiva Upadi. So, the body is Mithya, Jiva Upadhi is Mithya. Similarly, Ishvara Upadhi is also Mithya. Both the Upadhis are Mithya. From the Mithya Upadhi standpoint alone, there is difference, seeming difference. From the standpoint of the Atma, the Upahita Chaitanyam, Jiva and Ishvara are one. They are not two. There is neither Jiva nor Ishvara in the standpoint of Atma, which is Satyam. Therefore, Mithya means there is no Jagat, there is no Jiva, there is no Ishvara. What is there is only Chaitanyam Satyam, which alone is in the form of Jagat, which alone is in the form of the Jiva, and which alone is given the status, Ishvara status also. This is the actual, this is a summing up of what I did last class. So, Purna, Purnamadaha, Purnavidam, Purnat Purnam Rachyate, Purnasya Purnamadaya, Purnameva Avasishyate. Now, we have to enter into the, let me continue this class. As I have already said, this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad consists of three kandaha, trayaha kandaha, அஸ்யாம் உபனிஷதி த்ரயஹ காண்டாஹ. காண்டத்ரயம், த த்ரீ காண்டாஸ், த்ரீ போர்ஷன்ஸ். The first kandaha is Madhu kandaha, which is also known as Upadesha kandaha. Madhu kandaha is also known as Upadesha kandaha. And the second kandaha is Muni kandaha. I already told it's also called Rishi kandaha, but better learn another name also, Upapatti Kandaha. Muni Kandaha is also known as Upapatti Kandaha. And the last section, last portion, the third Kanda is known as Khila Kandaha, which is known as Upasti Kandaha. Madhu Kandaha is Upadesha Kandaha. Munikandaha is Upapatti Kandaha. Khila Kandaha is Upasti Kandaha. So Upasti means Upasanam. So Upasanam is other, Upasanam is actually neutral gender word. Upasti is a feminine gender word. That's the difference. Like Muktihi Vimochanam, Mochanam, Mokshaha. Similarly, Upastihi, Upaastihi. Astihi also means what? Sitting. Upastihi is a feminine, Asti is a feminine noun. Asanam is a neutral noun. Upasanam, Upastihi. So the third kanda is called Upasti Kandaha, Khila Kandaha. So now if Madhu Kandaha, the other called Upadesha Kandaha, what does the word Upadeshaha mean? Upadeshaha means teaching. So generally when we talk about Guru Upadeshaha, or Mantropadeshaha, we have another word called Mantropadeshaha. So before the Shastropadesha, first in order to start one spiritual sadhana, when we approach the teacher, in order to make us more disciplined and qualified and settled minded, always gurus give us the mantra for japa. And that is called Mantropadeshaha. There only that is the teacher teaches the mantra. The Mantropadesha. But here Upadesha is teaching. Upadesha means proper teaching. The teaching means here, what is teaching? Here unfoldment of the truth of the reality is the teaching. So bringing the absolute reality into light, unfoldment of the reality, Brahman, is called Upadeshaha. But how this Upadesha, how the teaching is done? And here the Brahma, even though the Shabda, the word Brahma has been heard many times, the word Atma has been heard many times, we seem to have understood, but really speaking, it's a cluster. If at all, if something which mind, this a cluster thing which the mind has to understand is the Brahma. There's nothing subtler than the reality imprinted by the word Brahman or Atma, which has to be understood by the mind. That's why in discovering, understanding the Brahma, the mind itself will disappear. Mind will resolve. There's nothing subtler than the reality which the mind needs to understand. So what is that? If you, other than the reality, anything else the mind knows, anything else the mind is involved in knowing, that object of knowledge, that is an object of knowledge, which is other than the mind. It is different from the mind. Whereas the reality, when the question of reality comes, it is the very truth of the mind. Niswarupam, swaswarupam, natu para vishayaha. Para vishayaha means what? If the mind is involved in knowing anything and everything other than the Atma, here the knowledge is of the what the mind is involved in knowing something other than itself. It is different from the mind. When the question of knowing Atma, the Brahman comes, it is the knowing its own Swarupa, its own self. So Swarupa. That is why Guru is called Swaswarupa Nirupana Hetuhu. Swaswarupa Nirupana Hetuhu. Swaswarupa Nirupana Hetave Gurave Namaha. We used to say. Salutations unto the Guru who is a Hetu, Nimittapna, who helps us to understand one's own Swarupa. He said, Swarupam of the mind only. Manasaha Swarupam Atma. Like Tarangasya Swarupam Jalam. Manasaha Swarupam Atma. But still, Manaha means mind happens to be so many thoughts. Therefore, we had to go to finally, there also every thought of the mind, all is object here. Ever finally, what is that which cannot be negated as object? That is why you had to walk into the cave, you had to visualize the walking into the cave of mind. Walk into the cave of the mind. Guhaya nihitam. Mind is like the cave, and into the cave you all start walking. You wish to imagine. And you are searching for the hidden treasure there. In the cave of the mind, there is a treasure hunt. The treasure is hidden. And it's a value, highly priceless. The greatest wealth is hidden there. Your swarup is hidden there. Your field of moksha is hidden there. The fullness is hidden there. It's a priceless gift. A hidden treasure. And you have to search. And it is like, imagine, you were walking into the cave. And from the big ashes, you enter into the cave of mind, you see so many other things. You know, so many bushes in the cave. When you walk into the cave, because your aim is to get the hidden treasure. You walk into the cave. In the, as soon as you enter, it's not that easy. So many herbs and shrubs and bushes and then maybe lots of things will be there. I have to push them aside. Imagine, really have to visualize them. You push every shrub and every, and you have to make way. I have to put the torch also again. See whether the snakes are there or lizards are there. You walk carefully again. Walk again. Every step you have to walk carefully. No, until you reach the, you discover the hidden treasure. In this cave of mind, you're walking. Now, as you enter, first comes what? Manaha. All emotions come. No, all the thoughts come. And oh, there's all objects of jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety. All these are thoughts, like bushes and thirds. Oh, it's all objects. Objects of knowledge. Even the thoughts are objects of knowledge. It's subtle objects obtaining one form of thoughts. So you're negating them all as objects of knowledge. They're all evident. Again, no, not this one. Then buddhi comes. All buddhi thoughts are not exactly like the compartment list. And your cognitions and perceptions and understands everything negative, everything object of knowledge. even the objects obtaining in the form of thoughts also are negated. Then memory negate, everything negate. And how negating the more, keeping aside all the bushes and carefully walking, you have reached the dead end of the cave. There a big wall which obstructs your movement, further movement. You can't move anymore. You are stuck now. You have walked so long, walked into the cave. Getting into the cave, from the entrance of the cave, you have walked and walked and walked and carefully, every step you are carefully searching for what you are wanting, what you have come for, carefully, you are very focused. And everything was not finally walked, and you stop now. You can't walk any further. You can't move anymore. Why? There's a wall. Not wall. There's a dead end of the cave you have arrived at. You can't proceed anymore. That's all. You have to stop there. And there, what is the dead end of the cave? There's one thought. What is that thought? All idam vrittis have gone. Now is aham vrittihi. All the idam vrittis, the vrittis, the thoughts pertaining to the objects, or the objects obtaining in the form of thoughts, you have negated. And the last thought is what? The one thought, it becomes the presence of which alone all other thoughts are possible. All other thoughts can exist. Without ahankara, there cannot be manaha, there cannot be buddhihi, there cannot be chitta. And all the thoughts coming in a categories under those threefold topics as manaha, buddhihi, chitta, all those thoughts cannot exist without this one thought called ahankara. What ahankara? Aham. A very important thought. Aham vrittihi. Aham is what? Aham, I. When you say it out, it is I, first person singular. Pronoun is a word. And word used by whom? By every individual. To refer to one's own self. And this word is what? Expression of the knowledge. Without manifest knowledge. And obtaining in what form? In a thought. That is the dead end of the mind. And then where you go, and there you understand, oh, I cannot go anymore. I have to stop here. And that thought, where does it arise? Where does it exist? Where does it resolve? So to know that what is there when that thought is not there. When the aham vritti is not there, there is something else. What is there when the aham vritti is not there? That must be the source of the thought. What is there when that aham vritti is not there? There is something. Because out of nothing, something can come into existence. Aham is there in the waking. It resolves, we call it a deep sleep state. Where does it rise from? Where does it exist? Where does it resolve? When it really resolves, it is not there. What is there? And that is the source of the aham vritti. So arrive at the source of the aham vritti. That because of the presence of which aham vritti being there is known, that because of the presence of which aham vritti being there also is known, not being there also is known, that is called chitta, chaitanyam. And you arrive at the chaitanyam. Therefore, here, so this, and that is what vrittehe swarupam. my idea point is not talk about Atma today. Actually speaking, Vrittehe Swarupam. The teaching sounds the same, but my intention today is not to talk about the Atma. Vrittehe Swarupam. How to understand the Swarupam of the wave is water. What is the Swarupam of the Vrittihi? Without which there's something called Vrittihi cannot exist at all. Because Vrittihi is something, Vrittihi itself is very, Vrittihi is Sanskrit word for thought. In Tamil we call it Ennam. So, what is this Vrittihi? We cannot see the Vritti. We cannot smell the Vritti. Vritti itself is something imperceptible. Anything imperceptible is sukshma. And Vrittihi is sukshma tama taraha. Much subtler. Your Vritti is to understand only in terms of the names. Your perception, cognition, understanding, knowledge, jealousy, hatred, fear, memory. Only in terms of these words, you understand the Vritti. And Vritti is subtle. And what is Vritti? Sometimes Vrittis are and Vrittis are not. Vrittis are not there always. Therefore, Vrittis also rise and resolve. Vrittis are not permanent. They're kshanika, Vrittihi kshanika. Vritti comes and goes. Therefore, Vritti comes and goes means Vrittis are of the nature of undergoing changes. And certain Vrittis are there for some time, Vrittis come and go. Therefore, this mind itself is all these Vrittis together, put together is called Antahkaranam, internal organ of knowledge. When I say the word organ, we are buddhi thing or something gross. Really speaking, sukshma, subtle. Internal organ of knowledge because it is behind the sense organs. Therefore, we call it internal. The word internal, external are very relative. The standpoint of mind, sense organs are external. The standpoint of sense organs, mind is internal. Really speaking, behind the sense organs. Antahkaranam is one word used to mean all the vrittayaha, vrittinam samuhaha manaha. It is a collection of all the vrittis put together is called antahkaranam. Vrittinam samuhaha antahkaranam. Therefore, and what is vritti? For all these vrittis, swarupam is the same. All the vrittis, what is the swarupa of each and every vritti? Just as swarupa of all the waves is one and the same water, for all the vrittis, swarupam is the same. Vritti nam, so therefore, antakarna swarupam is what? The same. The truth of the entire mind is what? The same. All is the same. But how can you arrive at it? But to arrive at the swarupam of the body, from everything, you arrive at the swarupam of the mind, you arrive at the swarupam of the antakkaranam also, as arrive at the swarupam of one particular vritti, aham vritti. You can't just arrive at it. You arrive at the swarupam of all the vrittis as the swarupam of aham vritti. And which alone enjoys the knower status. Aham vritti enjoys subject status. Subject. Knower, experiencer. And who is this experiencer really speaking? Who is this I? If aham vritti is not there, there is no experiencer status also. From the standpoint of all other vrittis, aham vritti has the experiencer, knower, subject status. the swarupam of the aham. You arrive at the swarupam of the whole jagat as the swarupam of the individual. And when you arrive at the swarupam of the individual as the swarupam of the mind, in fact, arrive at the swarupam of the antakkaranam also as the swarupam of all the vrittis also as swarupam of one particular vritti, aham vritti. That is why Ramana Maharishi pay attention only to this. Aham vritti. But without talking of other vritti, we simply say aham, it will be confusing. That is why we also follow tradition. You understand, you arrive at the swaroopam. You arrive at the swaroopam. So swaroopa jnanena paraswaroopa jnanam api siddhyati. By knowing your own swaroopam, your own means what? By knowing, arriving at the swaroopam of I. In fact, it is not declined aham. By arriving at the swaroopam of aham vritti, you arrive at the swarupa of all vrittis is as arrived as it were. By arriving at the swarupa of the end, all the vrittis entered antakkaranam, the swarupa of the individual is arrived at as it were, and the swarupa of the entire universe has been arrived at as it were. So, aham vritti swarupa jnanam is antakkarana swarupa jnanam. Antakkarana swarupa jnanam is vyakti swarupa jnanam. Vyakti swarupa jnanam is samashti swarupa jnanam. Samashti swarupa jnanam is purnatva jnanam. Easy to say it in Sanskrit. Very expressive also. Complete. Not difficult, very simple. The language. Nothing much here. So, vrittehe swarupam. What I want to say here, what is to be known, what is to be, when you say, unfoldment of the reality, the nature of the reality, revelation of the reality, or bringing reality into light is actually upadeshaha, teaching. And here, and what is to be understood, what is to be, what unfolded, happens to be subtlest. That's what I want to say. Why it is sukshmatamaha vishayaha? Why it is sukshmatamam? Because it is not something to be known. Something to be known is not something other than the antakkarana vritti, but so swarupam of the antakkarana vritti. That is why sukshmatamam. Vritti itself is sukshmataraha. Vrittehe swarup is sukshmatamam, subtlest. The truth of the subtler mind is subtlest reality. Therefore, Upanishad needs to use a very specific prakriya. Now I want to come to the point. So what is the prakriya used here? Generally, when I talk about aham vritti, it is not the prakriya here. I explained that just to make you understand the Atma being subtler than the mind. That's what I want to say. Now, here Upanishad needs to use the method, method of unfoldment, the prakriya. And here the prakriya used is adhyaro. Apavadaha. Adhyaropa apavada prakriya. So in this Madhu Kandaha, otherwise called Upadesha Kandaha, unfoldment of the nature of reality, or revelation of reality through this adhyaropa apavada prakriya is called upadeshaha, teaching. So revealing the reality through adhyaropa apavada prakriya is called upadeshaha. So adhyaropa apavada prakriya dvara or adhyaropa apavada abhyam brahmanaha prakashaha prakashanam upadeshaha. Bring reality into light through his method is called upadeshaha, teaching. And if we have to understand this adhyaropa apavada method, the method of superimposition and negation, definitely we need to understand three other words. Satyam, Mithya, Tuchyam. Or you can say Sat, Asat, Tuchyam. Satyam, Mithya, Tuchyam. Or Sat, Asat, Tuchyam. So what is Sat? What is Asat? What is Tuchyam? So here, that which exists always, that which is ever existent, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, that which is independently, that which is always, is Sat. And that which is never existent, that which does not exist at all, is Tuchyam. Therefore, now you can make out easily, Mithya is that which is neither Sat nor Tuchyam. That which does not exist always, that which has a beginning, and that which has an end, and while existing, also which has dependent existence, is Mithya. So Mithya is something which cannot be categorized as Tuchyam. Mithya. The Tuchyam means that which does not exist at all is Tuchyam. Therefore, so Sat, Asat, Mithya. So Asat can be taken as here Tuchyam. Sat is real, Asat is unreal, Tuchyam. And Mithya is that which is as though real. So that which is absolutely real is Sat, that which is relatively real is Mithya, or as though real is Mithya. That which is unreal is Tuchyam. Unreal means that which does not exist at all is Tuchyam or Asat. Sat, Asat, Mithya. Sat real, Asat unreal, Mithya as though real. For Asat, another word is Tuchyam. So it is permanently existed, temporarily existed, non-existent. So Sad Asad Vilakshanam is Mithya. That which is distinct from Sat and neither Sat nor Asat is Mithya. Now, what is Adhyaropaha? So Adhyaropaha, see, before even going to the first mantra, we better remember all these things. You know all these things, I don't think you don't know. But still, as part of this superhuman teaching, like I'm repeating, most of the things you know here. So, Adhyaropaha In English, we say superimposition. Shrutihi accepts the initially Shruti accepts the existence of this world. So Shruti's acceptance of the existence of this world, Jagat, is called Adhyaropaha. So Adhyaropaha implies also, so not only Shruti's acceptance of the Jagat as acceptance of the existence of the Jagat, but also when the Shruti accepts the existence of the Jagat, the universe, and the Shruti also presents the discussion on the origination of the universe. Suppose in Taittiriya we learned, tasmadva atmana akasha sambhutaha akashad vayuhu vayor agni agnerapah adya prithivi prithivya oshadayaha oshadivyonam annat purushaha. Like that, we have many other different opinions, persons, different srishti. Discussion on creation. The discussion on creation itself is possible only when you accept the existence of the universe. The Shruti's acceptance of the existence of universe, and thereby based on his acceptance of existence of the universe, and this presenting his discussion on the creation, origination of the universe, is called what? Adhyaropaha. Then not only that, Shruti has to discuss all the causes, the effects, and the laws, the means and the ends, laws and the natural laws governing the means and ends. All these things come under the category of this Adhyaropa topic. The supreme, because when you look at, take this universe as real, and you discuss everything that is there as part of the universe. You have to talk about the karma, karma phalam, punyam, papam, you know, dharma, adharma, everything Upanishad discusses. It's all actually comes under Adhyaropaha. Then, so what happened now? Then slowly, having accepted this universe, Jagat as Jagat, existence of the universe as real, then the same Shruti later on negates the existence of the universe. This Shruti's negation of the universe later on is called apavadaha. So the negation of the whole Jagat is called apavadaha. You know, this negation is very, 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 because very difficult. You have to say there is no space, no time, you know, no water, no fire, no loss, no karma, no punyam, no papam. Very difficult to say. No relationships, no experience. How to, very difficult to accept. But it's a fact. It is not negated as tuchyam, but negated as mithya. Very careful. Apavadaham is what? Negation of the whole Jagat, all the experiences, sukham, dukkham, paths of opposites, punyam, papam, karma, karma phalam, laws, everything as mithya. The negation of the Jagat as mithya is called apavadaha. So Adhyaropa is acceptance of the Jagat. Is Adhyaropa, negation of the Jagat is Apavadaha. So Jagat is neither the Sat nor Asat. Jagat is Mithya. So Adhyaropa Apavada Abhyam Jagataha Mithyatvam Pratipadyate. Mithyatva Jagat is established. Thereby, Brahmanaha Satyatvam also is Pratipadyate. We say how Brahman is Satyam. That which does not come within the category of the Jagat is Satyam. Anything and everything which has dependent existence is within the realm of the Jagat, which is Mithya, and Brahman alone does not come under the category of Jagat, therefore it is Satyam. So that which is what, how do we arrive at it? Because everything is negated. Abadhyam. So that which remains, that which is non-negated, non-negatable, is Satyam. So when the entire world is negated as Mithya, what remains that non-negatable Satyam? What is that which remains as non-negatable is only I, and non-negatable, non-negated Satyam is what? It becomes evident as myself. So Mithya, Prapanchaha and Satyam Aham. Satyam Aham, Mithya, Prapanchaha. The word Mithya, Prapanchaha is as good as non-existent here. Therefore, Mithya is as good as non-existent. Means Mithya cannot destroy or cannot harm the Satya Aham. Just as pot, form and name pot cannot do any harm to the clay, the wave cannot do any harm to the water, so also Mithya Jagat, Mithya body, mind and complex, Mithya Jagat means enough, everything falls one thing, cannot do any harm to Satya Atma, which is the Swarupa of Aham. Therefore, now we can understand the first chapter. With this understanding, the Upadesha Kandaha, always called Madhu Kandaha, has two chapters. And there are many Brahmanas here in each chapter. The first chapter discusses only Adhyaropaha. Sadhyaropaha is subject matter of the first chapter. And Apavadaha is subject matter of the second chapter. Now we already know what Adhyaropa, what is Apavadaha. Why I need to talk about this Sat, Asat, Mithya? Because Sat means real, Asat means Tucham, Mithya means as though real. It will be very clear. Why? Because many translations where they translate universe as unreal. And Swamiji is very particular about making it very clear. You should never say universe is unreal. The word unreal can be used to mean only that which does not exist at all. The universe is not unreal. Universe is not something. Even the we say it's as good as we can say, but not really unreal. This is why it's empirically, relatively, objectively as the real. And that's what we say Mithya. It has no independent existence, therefore it cannot cause any harm to Satyam. That's what we need to understand here. Therefore, here the whole first chapter discusses the Adhyaropaha. The second chapter discusses the Apavadaha. So using this through this method, and Brahman is going to be revealed. Therefore, it's called Upadesha Kandaha. So here, in Adhyaropa, the first chapter, where Adhyaropaha is subject matter there, the whole world is, for there is acceptance of the whole Jagat. And in accepting this Jagat, the world is divided into two portions. The two-fold presentation of the universe. What is that? First is Abhyakrita Abhyakta Prapanchaha. First, the world which is accepted is presented in two forms. And what? Abhyakta Avyakrita Prapanchaha. Then Vyakta Vyakrita Nama Rupa Karmatmakam Jagat. Nama Rupa Karmatmakam Vyakta Vyakrita Prapanchaha. In Avyakta, we don't say Nama Rupa Karma. Why? In Avyakta. So, Avyakta Avyakrita Prapanchaha. Then, it is with the, we are going to understand that. Then, Avyakta Vyakrita Nama Rupa Karmatmaka Vyakta Vyakrita Prapanchaha. And this is where you will understand very beautifully how Shankara Bhagavad makes it very clear how Nama Rupa Karmatmakam Jagat. That definition you understand only here. What is universe? He simply beautifully understand Nama Rupa Karmatmakam Mithya. All three are Mithya. That's what is universe. And that Jagat is what? Ishvara Upadhi. Upadhi is what? Mithya. Very first introductory mantra in Shanti Patha is made very clear. Any upadhi is mithya. Therefore, that's going to be made very clear later on. Anyway, so Vyakrita Prapanchaha. So here, the Vyakrita Prapanchaha is again subdivided. The Namarupa Karmatmakam Vyakrita Vyakrita Prapanchaha again is divided as what? Sadhana Sadhya Prapanchaha. Sadhanam means mean and Sadhya means end. Sadhana Sadhya Prapanchaha. So we are also going to see varieties of the Sadhanani and Sadhyani in this first chapter. And here, each chapter, we are going to have many sections, and each section is called a Brahmana. And the first here, the three Brahmanas discuss the Sadhanani. And later on, it talks about the Sadhanani and Sadhyani. Excuse me, I'll continue next class. They're waiting, some people have come just waiting because sorry, it's 9:37 here.